Okay, we're up to page 34. We're up to page 34. We're in the middle of the laws of Hachana. Hachana from one day Yom Tov to the next day Yom Tov. Page 34. Okay, we're up to Ois Dalet. Okay, again, it's on page 34. Siman Tov Kuf Gimel. Ois Dalet. We are in the middle of the laws, the prohibition of preparing from the first day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov, and from the second day Yom Tov to Chol. Kosav Hatur, Diyesh Oimim, Afilu Omer Beferish, Roitze Oisel, Litzarach Machar Mutter. So yesterday we learned that the technique, there is a technique where a person is allowed to prepare from the first day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov, and there are two principles. Number one is one tircha. If I have a kettle of water, I only need for my lunch just one glass of water, I'm allowed to fill up the entire kettle. Even though in the back of my mind, the reason why I'm filling up the entire kettle is I'm preparing it for tonight. Tonight I'm having guests, I'm going to need a full kettle of water, I'm going to need to have 10 cups of tea. I'm allowed now in the afternoon, on Yom Tov Rishon, to prepare for Yom Tov Sheni, because it's one ma'isa, it's one tircha. It's only one action of turning on the faucet, to fill up the kettle, and it's one action of putting the kettle on the range, and it's one action of raising the flame to boil the water. It's one maisa tircha. So therefore, it is mutter. Second het that we learned yesterday is, even if I have to do many actions, I have to cook. I have to prepare multiple pieces of meat. I want to prepare now, in the afternoon, 10 pieces of meat. I only need for the lunch meal one piece of meat, but I want to prepare 10, so I have 9 pieces for tonight. It's mutter. Why is it mutter? It's not one action. It's not one tircham. I'm going to have to wash 10 pieces of meat. I'm going to have to put into the pot 10 pieces of meat. I'm going to have to prepare and salt and add spices and prepare. There's a lot of work involved. The answer is because when you cook, the nature of cooking is such that the more you cook, the more each item, individual item, tastes better. So if I cook one piece of meat, it will taste on a scale of 1 to 10, it will taste 8. It will be on a scale 8. But if I cook 10 pieces of meat, then the flavor of the other 9 pieces will enhance piece number 1. This is what the Aruch HaShulchan says is the mitzias, is the reality. Anyone here a professional gourmet chef? Can anyone?
The big thing is that, in other words, that has to be a pshat of Litzorach, because it takes so much longer to cook when there's
more
in the oven.
But still in all, since the quality of the one piece of meat that you're going to eat now on the first day Yom Tov will be enhanced through the flavor of the other 9 pieces, even though there is more tircha involved, you're doing multiple, it's not just a tircha achas, it's multiple tirchas, it's still going to be mutter. And that's what we learned yesterday, plus a lot of other details. Now,
no saying tam l'p'tam or no saying tam l'shevach, each piece gives more flavor to the
okay,
other.
Okay, so each one is providing, right, enhancing the flavor. Now, this sifkan is telling us that's all fine and good if you keep your mouth shut. But let's say, as you're working in the kitchen and you're filling up the kettle, you say, l'shem yichud kol shebrichu. I'm now filling up the kettle of water. Why? For tonight. I'm now cooking 10 pieces of meat. Nah, I only need one now, but I'm going to take advantage. I'm going to prepare 10 pieces because I need 9 for tonight. So here, you explicitly stated what you're doing. It's not just that you did it quietly. You explicitly stated what your intent is. Why? No, the thought is mutter. That we learned yesterday. That's what I'm saying. Yesterday we learned that your thought is mutter. If you, even though in the back of your mind, I'm doing it for tonight, but at least you didn't say it. You didn't say that I'm filling up the kettle for tonight. I'm just filling up the kettle. It's one ma'isa tircha, so I'm allowed to do it, even though it's... But here, the question is, what happens if are you actually allowed to say? In other words, let's say you don't want to do it. Let's say you tell your children, you tell your wife, you know, or your husband says, the wife says to the husband, you know, can you do me a favor? Can you go and fill up the kettle? Fill up the kettle. So I says, you're not allowed to. It's tonight. Don't you know the halacha? Tonight is yalad b'mimechin from the first day Yom to the second day Yom Tov. So the wife says, I know, but there's a haroma. There's a legal loophole. You go and you prepare. I warn you, you don't know the halacha, you don't cook. I want you, even though you only need for yourself one glass of water, one cup of tea, but I want you to go fill up the whole kettle for tonight. You're allowed to do this. Do it for tonight. So are you allowed to express b'dibur what your kavan is? So this is a machlokes between the tour and the rokeach. Rokeach is normally not, you know, I don't normally find the rokeach talking halacha. The rokeach is not normally quoted as a baal halacha, but yet here we quote rokeach. Kasev ator. D'yeish oimim. I'm a descendant. I am almost a direct descendant from the tour, from the rokeach. How do I know? I'll tell you my yichus. Bring you my yichus. My father is of Aaron, of Mordechai, of Aaron, Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson, here's where I go wrong, was the son-in-law of Rav Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelkis. And he was a Ben Achar Ben from the Rokeach. Six generations.
Ben Achar Ben from a daughter.
So I almost made it. I go up Ben Achar Ben, and then we from have this one, just one switch. One switch to a daughter. What? I don't know. Okay. Yitzchak Yehuda Shmelkis, my great-great-great-grandfather, his last name was originally Rokeach. But in those days, last names meant nothing. It meant absolutely nothing. The word Rokeach really meant nothing. When his second wife, her name was Shmelkis, and because of complications in the government and all different, I don't know what the problem was, what was an issue. It was a no-brainer. So he adopted her name, and somehow it stuck. Somehow.
I'm not sure adopted his wife's name, but that's because she
paid his bills. And it wasn't like today, yeah, you know.
The Marshal.
Okay.
His mother-in-law's name.
Because they paid the bills.
Yes, she paid the bills.
Okay, let's see. Ois Dalit. Kosav Hatur Diyei Shom. Some say that Afilo Amra Beferushi he writes Oisal Litzach Machar Mutter. Some say that even if she says, a woman says, it's not after the woman, she says Beferush. You explicitly state she writes Oisal Litzach Machar Mutter. It is permitted to state that I'm preparing now on the first day Yom Tov, for the second Yom Tov, it's Mutter. The Yesh Oishim, some say you're not allowed to go that far and express yourself and say, I'm preparing 10 pieces of meat because I need 9 for tonight. The Nirish Shehu Mutter, Aruch HaShulchan is Machria, and he paskins, in his opinion, it's Mutter. You can go and you can prepare on the first day Yom Tov, for the second day Yom Tov, and then the techniques that we mentioned yesterday with all of the rules and regulations, and you could actually make a statement and say that it's do it. Came in the time I had to Mimnei Shat HaSefes Goreim Tam B'Tavsh, like we learned yesterday, that the additional piece of meat is going to enhance the flavor. Imkein Afilu Persha B'Feirush Nami Mutter Ad Kan L'Shana. So therefore the Torah is, therefore Aruch HaShulchan follows the Torah, it's Mutter, bottom line, it's Mutter. The Harakeach who Oiser, the Rokeach disagrees, V'tamo Nir Dehein Emes, even though it's true, the Chazal, Hitir B'Nei Zeh, Mikol Mokam, Iker HaKavona, L'Tzuch Mokar, Vadad Yosser. The Rokeach says, listen, you can't go that far. Chazal never allowed you to go so far to actually express yourself in words. That tourist relates in Choshen L'Kavon. We don't carry a Kavon. It came since the Mutter Alpidin. It's Mutter. If it's Mutter, it's Mutter. You don't have to go and be more religious than what the Torah demands of you. If it's Mutter, it's Mutter. Don't look to make for yourself problems. Amnam Ruisi Rokeach She'ein Makbid Al Kavon Rak Al Dibor. He wants to clarify. Even the Rokeach doesn't mean when the Rokeach writes here Kavona, you can be easily misled. You can think that if a person in his mind is preparing for tonight, it's aser to add more meat or to fill up more water. No, that's not what the Rokeach means. When the Rokeach says kavon, the Rokeach means dibur. Even though in your mind, I'm preparing for tonight, it's okay, as long as you don't explicitly say it, you don't explicitly express yourself. Rak al adi v'zeloshoynoi mimaleis isha kidera, a woman can fill up. Avil ein loimar. The only thing the Rokeach is makbid upon is not to express yourself. Elu yu l'tzorch yomtov. V'loi elu, and not this. Don't go say this will be, this one piece will be for today, and the other nine will be for tonight. Ach kishamavalo hakadera o oz hatav shul toiv. when she fills up the pot with many pieces of meat, then the cooked dish is much better. The Eina Nikeres Haramasa Kehach, he brings out a story in the Gemara, the Molach Garma, Gemaisa over there, the Gemara talks about salting pieces. I don't know what the story is. Whatever the case over there is, Ad Kan Lashonai, the Kavanasai, the Hatama Hetu Bimesh Eina Nikur Harama. So he clarifies that according to the Rokeach, the only chumra is not to express yourself, because then it's noticeable your kavana, your intent, your what you're trying to do. You're trying to be mechin from the first day yomtiv to the second day yomtiv. But if you don't say anything and you just do it, and it's not nikar lehenya, Chazal allow, even the Rokeach admits that it is mutter. And according to the Torah, you're even allowed to go so far and say, I'm now preparing for tonight, but I'm not preparing for tonight in a way that is forbidden. I'm preparing for tonight in a way that is permitted, because it only involves tircha achas, or because the food that I'm eating is going to have more flavor by having more pieces of meat in the pot.
What does the person want to say that he's doing it for tomorrow? What's
so in the example that I gave you, let's say you have to give instructions. Let's say the husband says, I want to make myself a glass, a cup of tea. So the wife says, "Oh, while you're at it, can you fill it up all the way?" So husband says, "Why? We're having guests tonight." So what? I want you to prepare for tonight. So in that instance, there are times when it will have to actually be expressed, be said. So then, according to the Torah, it's mutter, because the bottom line is you follow the actions, your ma'asim, and according to the Rokeach, says it's nikolegia. Erev Tavshil is different. Erev Tavshil is a whole rule. Is a whole world to itself.
What?
No, then lechatchila. Erev Tavshil lechatchila. There are no restrictions whatsoever. When you're preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos.
No. If you forget to make it.
If you forget to make it.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, so that's
it.
That's a different.
That's a whole. That's complicated. So in a chanami. So then there's a whole different set of rules. That's
so you're allowed to overcook for long years for people with the intention of leftovers being used for something.
Not only you're allowed to do lechatchila. Yeah. That's exactly what we learned.
As long as you don't say it.
No, the Torah says you can say it also. The Torah says that you're allowed to say it. It's only the not in case guests. No, that's a law when it comes to erev tavshilin. That's only Erev Tavshil and coming guests. Over here, when it comes to preparation, we don't take into consideration, I want to prepare now on the first day Yom Tov for tonight, and the reason I'm going to be mad is because maybe a guest will come in the afternoon. So I'm going to prepare a gourmet meal. I'm going to prepare a gourmet meal and set up the table, do everything right now, because maybe at the end of the day, guests will come. No such thing. If guests are not scheduled to arrive today, you're not allowed to make preparations on the first day Yom Tov or the second day. This principle of Shema Ikloi Orchin is a concept that is used exclusively in the laws of Erev Tavshilin. In the laws of Hachana, from the first day Yom Tov to the second day Yom Tov, there is no such thing. If you did not invite anyone to come as a guest, they're not coming. They're not coming. And you're not allowed to assume they're coming. And it is usur to prepare outright from today till tomorrow. The only heter is that we learned yesterday. The two different techniques. Either it's tircha achas, or the food that you're going to eat today will be enhanced by having more food in the pot. And we learned yesterday all the different rules. It's very complicated when you can apply those rules or when you cannot apply those rules. Okay, now we go to halacha. Hey, ulefi zed, sarach lehmet, atur, shachalik, alav, siulei, afilu, minkra, harama, is continuing with that theme. According to the Torah, it's noticeable what you're doing, mutter, v'yev, shaloi, markein. So over here, the Rosh Hashanah is saying that don't get carried away. Even the Torah, to some degree, agrees with the Rokeach that you should not do it outright. Yev, shaloi, markein, shaloi, achakach, chos, v'atur, b'shem, itur. The dafka, koidem, achilo, yichoyla, laharbois, b'bishol. Only before you eat, you can be marv bishul. Aval achar achila ena yochal levashel v'loyma oichal mimena kizayis tein l'charam gedol mizos. Ad kan l'shani. So we give an example, another limitation of this halacha. Let's say you have already eaten your Shabbos meal. Okay, the guest yom tov meal, and now it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And now I want to start preparing for tonight. So you know what? I'm going to cook a dish, and I'm not hungry. I already ate my Shabbos meal. But I'll take a kazayas. I'll put up a whole pot of meat, and I'll take a kazayas. I'm not really hungry, so that's also. The only time you're allowed to take advantage of the rule we learned before is you have not yet eaten your Shabbos, your Yom Tov meal. So then you can go put up a big pot and take some of what's in that pot and use it for your Yom Tov meal, and the leftovers will be for tonight. But if you have already eaten your Yom Tov meal and you were not planning on eating another meal, and now you go and you make another, and you make, just as a haroma, as a technique, in order to prepare for tonight, another pot, and you'll sit down and have a kezayis, this is usur. The Torah hiskim lezeh alma desfile de haroma de minkra usur. The Torah acknowledges that an outright trickery, an outright subterfuge is forbidden. V'im kein, echite v'yomeres. How then can the Torah, we have a contradiction, how then can the Torah go and say that if you misstate, if you're cooking your meal and you say, I'm doing it for the night, it's mutter, it's a contradiction. We have no choice but to say, the sfirle, the haroma, the minkra, lo mikri, ela kisharoya, yovin haroma me atzmo. It has to be that we make believe the volume has been turned off. What would happen if a person is watching a video of you making your preparations and does not hear what you're saying? Would he notice that you are preparing for tonight? If you turn up the volume, right, you have surveillance, and you turn up the volume and you watch the person prepare the lunch meal, and he says, I'm now going to make 10 pieces of meat. One piece of meat is for lunch, and the 9 is for dinner. So that's it, smoking gun. He's caught with his pants down. This is the smoking gun. That's it, it's all. But there's no volume. The surveillance, the NSA, their speakers are not working today. They don't have the volume turned on. So all they do is they see what you're doing. Just seeing what you're doing does not indicate you're preparing for tonight. Because the reason why you're putting into the pot 10 pieces of meat is because you want one piece of meat to taste better. So therefore, that is the rule of thumb. That's the golden rule according to the parish of the Torah.
No witnesses.
What?
No witnesses.
So you have to be a witness to yourself. You have to go and judge yourself. What I'm doing right now, I can say all I want. If someone theoretically would observe me, and would only watch what I'm doing, or not listen to what I'm saying, would it be minkra milsa that I'm doing a haroma for tonight? That is the determining factor. A lot of lumbus here, according to the sheet of the Torah. So we take away your speech, we look at your actions, even though no one is watching, you make a determination, and that will determine if it's mutter or not.
Wait, would this be the same din as, for instance, on Chol HaMoed? You're preparing a whole bunch of meat, let's say, and really you need it for Efiyad, Hachon for Efiyad.
There the rules are much more relaxed. The rules on Chol HaMoed are much more relaxed.
But you could take one...
You could for sure do it. It's chol. I mean, the rules of what you're not allowed to do chol mo'i. But the hachana is relative to Yom Tov is much more relaxed. If you have a need to do it, it depends on what madrega, I mean, how far you want to go. That's really a personal... A lot of the rules of Chol HaMoed are personal decisions. How would you feel towards the day? A person that's on a very high spiritual level, so he puts upon himself more research. The person who doesn't have that appreciation, he's not mechuyif to go and make himself crazy. Ella daroya yovin harama b'matzim going achar achila. That only applies the person starts making it. If a person is reviewing what you're doing and you start making food preparation after you finish your Yom Tov meal, then it's obvious what you're trying to do. Avul kaidim achila, before eating, alpi shayimeres shavitzoyin. She says shayimeres shavitzoyin the litzurch machar. Mikol machar came from the kol shas abishol ein kan harama lemarasayin. Since I'm a bishol, there is no harama lemarasayin. Lo chayshinin lamir lamirasa. So we don't care what she says. She can say all she wants. You can say all you want. It does not have any effect on the halacha because we look at your actions, not at your words. Shehu kirega. It's only a momentary thing that comes out of her mouth. Even the person who hears doesn't really pay that much attention. You assume that she changed her mind. I don't know what he means by that line over there. Whatever it means, this concept that we do not take into consideration your words, we take into consideration your actions, is said in Taisvis. Taisvis says this somewhere. The Mela, that is the bottom line. The Ach, the Isvav. V'yaf al pi shalacha shechil asu lahalahari ma'afil b'roit selecho lachitcha mizeh mikol mokon im avro bishla. Let's say it's after the fact. She did not follow the rules. They ate their yom tov soup, and then she went. She prepared a large meal for tonight. Violated all the rules. Ubishlo liachachila v'och kazais mehamachol v'chein kishashachad v'heimol liachachila v'och kazais. She cooked, and then she had a kazais, or she slaughtered, and you slaughter an animal, need a kazais. Motor lo erev afilu b'yom tov shel Rosh Hashanah. So here is the question. Let's say you violated the halacha. You are in violation. Is there a knas? What do we do with the food? The husband comes home and the husband sees that his wife cooked everything on the first day Yom Tov in advance for the second day Yom Tov. So it's like Chil Shabbos.
No, what he has to do is come in and say, so when are the guests coming?
It's like Chil Shabbos. A person is Mechal Shabbos. Are you allowed to eat for the food? No. A person, he cooks a dish on Shabbos itself. Are you allowed to be nene from that dish on Shabbos? Absolutely not.
After Shabbos is okay.
If you did it by accident, if you did it on purpose, then you're never allowed to derive benefits. Someone else can derive benefit. But there are rules, basically. But if you do it on Shabbos itself, you're not allowed to derive benefit. So we have to say the same thing of a person is in the violation. So the food perhaps should be forbidden for consumption for on the next day. And indeed, he does quote over here a second opinion: the Yesh Oishim Gam B'Di'evid Ve'Ein Iker. The first opinion that it's mutter. This halacha is not an iser that is severe like Chil Shabbos. So if a woman did violate the halacha or a man violated the halacha and then rectified it by eating a kazayis, so it turns out that now you're nene partially from the what you've done on the first day Yom Tov, on the Yom Tov, which is mutter. I'm allowed to cook on Yom Tov for today. So if a person did cook a pot after their Yom Tov Suda and then did eat a kazayis of basar from the pot, even though he was not allowed to do that, but since he did derive benefit from what he did, so therefore the Aruch HaShulchan says you can rely upon the more lenient opinions, that even though an Aver was done, the Aver is not severe to the degree where we're going to prohibit the food for the next day. Even though you should be aware that there are poiskim that are machmir, and say the food goes in the garbage. You did an Avera, you're not allowed to be nene from the food.
Why if you didn't eat it for
kazayis? What? If you didn't eat it? He doesn't say. It's mashal biyaser. It's only mashal that's going to be mutter is if at least you rectify the avera by eating a kazayis. The raya lezeh sharei b'misukenes hitu lechatchila la'asoyis kein k'mashakosa b'simin tov tzadiches if an animal is a misukenes. If I'm not mistaken, what this means is it means an animal is going to die. Shecht it now. Because if I don't shecht it today, wait until tomorrow, it's going to be a nevela. So right now, let me shecht it. I'll shecht it right now. I'm saving myself the whole animal. So, but I don't need it for today. I need it for tomorrow. So it's usur. I have an absolute.
No shiloh of trade.
Not today. Obviously, today are very high standards.
You don't know. Maybe
today they would never. Old age. Right. Today they would never happen in a slaughterhouse such a thing like this.
No, of course not.
But in ancient times, it's very common.
Yeah.
You have an animal. If I wait until tomorrow, it's going to die. And there's no shiloh of treifus. So therefore, let me shecht it today. But I don't need the meat for today. I'm done today. So I'm only shechting it for tomorrow. So Chazal said it's mutter. Because the laws of Hachana and Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni are also midrabanan. It's only midrabanan. And Chazal were very relaxed, very lenient in the rules. And they said, here's an exception. It's a loss of money. Hefsid Mammon, it's a loss of money, it's mutter. So once already we find Chazal was so maker when it comes to Hefsid Mammon, we have a right to assume that when a person did it after b'di'evit, he violated the law after the fact, and he would rectify it to some degree by eating a kazayis, we should be matir, there should not be a problem.
Sometimes
right?
You might say that the meat is, if I don't cook it now, it's going to be over bottled.
By tomorrow.
I got to cook it.
So maybe that would be similar. Maybe that would be a modern day example of right. Misukenes. Maybe. I don't know. It could be. When it comes to other types of cooked dishes, if you go and tell me that it's going to be also, I feel a bit the evid, in our example, then it's a little bit too much of a discrepancy to say that a Misukenes is going to be mutter. Obviously, the fact that Chazal were makel by a Misukenes to shecht from one day to the next day indicates that the Aveira is not that severe, and it rules their grounds to be makel. Ois Zayin, the Da. Going back, we learned yesterday and today this, that you can do this harama, subterfuge, to cook in advance and use the leftovers for tomorrow. It's not so simple. The kavanos l'harim, af yishat ein tzorach rak l'chatich achatz, k'mo shen spar, like we explained, m'nei shachatich od zotov yosir shachdei m'lei, k'ma shakos sav, like we explained, the kavanos davka, k'she tzorach b'emes l'chatich zol l'macholo hayoim. That's only when you're really sincere that you do at least one for lunch, one piece of meat. Aval, here he's coming to go and put another nail in the coffin, another chumrah. Aval, it's now early in the morning. Okay, lunch is scheduled for 11 o'clock. I'm now cooking 9 o'clock in the morning for 11 o'clock. I only need for lunch. Aval, kishein tzach klal l'macholah hayoyim. Sheyesh l'macholah machedim. I don't need this dish. We have plenty what to eat for lunch. We're all on diets here. Okay, well, no one's eating it anyway. The only reason why I'm going to go and make this dish is because I need it for tonight. I need for tonight having guests. I have to be, it has to be bakovedik. It has to be nice for all the choshev guests that are coming. So I want to prepare in advance. So once we're going to prepare in advance, so we'll have no choice but to have some of the dishes for lunch. But if not for the guests coming at night, I wouldn't even think about having this dish at lunch. So this is a problem. Because now, you know, you're doing it in the morning before lunch, but you know in the back of your mind you really don't want to eat this anyway by lunch.
But Ella, you can say that you're preparing to have more choices for lunch.
That's right.
So that's what he's coming to say. Yeah. You have to be sincere.
Even though you have extra food, you have more choices.
Do you really want more choices? Let's say you're eating alone with your wife, and everyone's on the, and both people are on a diet. And you're really not interested. You're not interested. You're not interested. So he's saying, you're ready, you're not being honest with yourself then. So he's saying, I'm making a harama. That's what's coming to class. To go prepare after already lunch is over, that's clearly, he says, is also. B'dieved, that's another story. But now he's saying, even if you're preparing early in the morning or at night for the lunch meal, so now there's no harama because I'm going to eat the meat, right? I'm not going to eat it. Really? You really want to eat meat for lunch? I don't want to eat meat for lunch. I'm only going to eat the piece of meat for lunch because I want the leftovers for tonight. So even that's a harama. So here he's presenting another machlekes. Another machlekes. Maybe this also is problematic.
So you're purposely overcooking.
For sure you're overcooking. That's purposely. But you're purposely cooking also. I don't want to eat. If tonight we were not having guests, I would never prepare this dish for lunch. No way, Jose. The only reason why I'm going to go and prepare this dish for lunch is because I want to overcook for tonight. So the only way you're allowed to overcook for tonight is if I'm going to eat some of this food at lunch. So that's a harama. Or maybe it's not a harama. That's the question. So maybe that's the dilemma. It's aser, I dilma, maybe no. If it's mutter, it's mutter. I dilma, afilu b'chahai gavna mutter. Sheyesh oishrim, there are those that aser, v'yesh matidim, this machlekes, a person of all good things in life, you're never going to get a consensus. V'afilu harbe kideros, according to some, it's mutter, like you can have a gourmet meal. You can go and cook the whole meal for tonight. And just make sure you put on the for lunch a little piece of meat for every single dish put on the table. Afilu harbe kideros yicholo levash avudim kazais mikol echad. That's v'chein mashu that it's mutter midiri hatoisis v'atur v'apoyskim shoshu achar achila. Don't be confused with the fact that the tour and the poyskim the asar that's only after afilu kamash shakosav. V'hine achar achila vada in tzach b'yatzim. If it's after lunch is over, it's already 12 o'clock in the afternoon. If lunch is over, you won't be that certainly in the asar. So since they only prohibit after lunch is over, the koydem achila, even though your intent is to prepare in advance, afilu b'chahai gavna mutter. And he says the oilam is noyeg to be mekel V'chein hu aminig olam shemavshil shemavashlim eizemachal al halayla v'toyen me'at mimenu. At night he cook a big good gourmet meals. Gesundheit. In the morning me'at menu v'davar p'shashel hu shederach tima ein emoyel. But of course, just a little sip, a little lick, it's not enough taste. You got to eat something significant. A kezayis. You have to eat significant.
Ella. Is that how we hold?
Yes. That's how we hold. Ella le'echol ma'ad kederech achila. You know, someone told me, he listened to my tape. When we started this shiur 5 years ago, so he listened, he listened, it's probably the last time he listened to my shiur. And I said that we're learning Mishnah. I says, we're only coming here to learn kulis. We're not here coming to make trouble to learn chumras. And every time I see this person, it reminds me, so when you're learning halacha, you're just learning for the kulis? It reminds me what I said on the first day. You're only looking for the kulis? So here he said, we have a kul. Some say, dirak, miyamdim. Then he goes on to say a chiddush, which he rejects. This technique is only mutter from Yom Tov Rishon Sheni. V'loy mi Yom Tov Sheni l'choil. Let's say a malava malka after Yom Tov, not la malka. Mitzoy Yom Tov, the family's coming over. So I want now on the second day Yom Tov for the lunch meal to overcook with the intent that we're going to serve the leftovers for a meal after Yom Tov is over. So you're overcooking from Yom Tov Sheni L'Choil. Maybe there are grounds to suggest that it's worse. It's more chomer in halacha. No, he says, people say this, I hear Aruch HaShulchan obviously had a very good koilo. They told him all his words. They told him what everyone wants to say. Some say that Yom Shri Mamach V'lo Min V'Sheni L'Chol V'lo Ovin HaChiluk. I don't see a difference. To me, it's all the same. It's mutter from Yom Tovrit and Sheni, Yom Sheni Mandir. So this is the end of the laws of Achan. Bottom line over here is we have so many different madregos. And basically, if you want to take all the coolest together, okay, let's just take all the coolest together, lichat chila, you can make a harama before your lunch meal to cook dishes that you would never in your wildest dream think of eating for lunch. The only reason why you're making these dishes is because you want to use it for the next day, whether it's going to be Yom Tov Sheni or Chol. So you're going to cook these exotic dishes either at night or early in the morning for your lunch, and you have to eat at your lunch meal a kezayis, not just a te'ima, not just a teeny little mash, you have to eat a kezayis in order that it should have, the cooking that you've done should have been for the purpose of lunch.
Not only are you allowed to
cook exotic dish that you would never normally eat, you can even say I'm doing it. You can say I'm now cooking this exotic dish that I would never in my wildest imagination cook for lunch, only because I want this dish for dinner, for these guests that eat these poisonous foods. I'm only eat healthy foods, so these guests, for them, I'm taking all the poison. For them, I'm doing it for them for tonight. You can even say it. Because the laws of Hachana are relaxed, and your words don't count. We don't take into consideration your words, even though we only take into consideration your actions. And since from your actions you're benefiting, you are deriving benefit at lunch, you are eating this dish at lunch, so you're deriving benefit. So that is what determines the halacha.
You basically beat the system.
Correct. Chazal are giving you a technique how to beat the system. Absolutely. You can say it, you can do it outright, and you can beat the system. And why are we so lenient? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, because of the principle of the misukenes. Since we find Chazal said, you have an animal that's about to die, it's not going to make it to the next day. And if you wait until the next day, it's going to be a nevela, you can shecht it today. If the laws of Hachana were so severe, then Mesukenes would not make a difference. The fact that Mesukenes is mutter indicates that it's a lightweight halacha, and therefore when it's a lightweight halacha, you're allowed to engage in subterfuge.
Isn't that...
In this vein though, Hachana even works on Chalamoy Fe'er.
Say Chalmon is even more lenient.
The OU doesn't have all the shlachtos that are closed Chalamoy because of that, except under certain conditions they allow Shechita Chalamoy, but not on the last 2 days Chol HaMoed, because obviously you're never going to use that meat. By the time it comes in and you make it kosher, it's not for the last days of Yom Tov.
But a lot of the meat that they're going to be shechting on the first day.
And I had to explain to him why they don't.
It has to be theoretically possible.
At the end of Chol HaMoed.
It has to be theoretically possible. The meat they shechting on the first day of Chol HaMoed will be used by the end.
Obviously, you're not going to be used till after Yom Tov.
Then it's impossible.
Then no shot.
There was a shul in Queens that the caterer used to have an affair Saturday night once the Shabbos. So he prepared Shalosh Shodas, over-prepared to have it for the Shmuel. So they had a big problem with that.
That is Achon on Shabbos. Achon on Shabbos. So is Achon on Shabbos. I don't know. What are the laws of Achon on Shabbos to call? Is that more chamur? The laws of Achon to Yom Tov? Maybe not. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
He wasn't cooking anything. He was just like preparing salads and stuff. He's asking for Shalosh Shodas.
So maybe it's mutter. Maybe indeed it's mutter. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Over here, we're learning Yom Tov. Are the rules of Shabbos more chamur than the rules of Shabbos more chamur than Yom Tov? I don't know. In Achana, will Achana, maybe what they did was perfectly mutter. Like over here, it says. Over here, it's according to Halacha Lemaaseh.
They had a problem with catering. Some people left the shul because of that.
In catering business, they generally there's a whole different guidelines. Classic example is the facts are 98% of the population does not have filters on their sink, on their water tanks and in their sinks. That's the facts. Go talk to the plumbers. No one's calling them every day to install a filter on their sink. That's the fact. There are yachidim that have filters. Yet today, all of the cash organizations, it's a no-brainer, it's a non-starter, their water was filtered. You can't get a hechsher today if you're not going to filter your water. Their policy is.
In New York,
they don't have a problem in New York. In Lakewood, they're chalishing for this. You know, in Lakewood, they're sitting there with microscopes. They're dying to find bugs. They're chalishing for the chumrah to find bugs. You know the parnasa, how much money you can make? You find bugs in the lake, in the water in Lakewood. You know how much parnasa people will be able to make for filters and everything? And also, chumrah. You know, you earn your keep in this world. I know someone told me the guys did a chalishing. They're trying to send word to laboratories to find epis, you can find a bug. But there are no bugs to be found.
I think I remember your father, Rochelle, said Europe. He said, what do you think? The water in Europe didn't have bugs, and people ate that.
Copepods. No, I don't know. In Lakewood, the water comes from a different reservoir. It comes from a whole different system,
And supposedly also when they introduced that new reservoir system in New York.
Yeah.
Go away.
Oh, when they're introducing the new reservoir system?
No, it's a long-term project.
In Achanami, so it's only where the copecots. It comes, it's specific to New York. Copecots. Certain type of bug. And you should know, the scientists say that we're very lucky to have the copecots. The copecots, they take away bacteria. It's a very big myla. Lakewood, they should be very sad that they don't have this problem, because the water that has copepods, our water, we have the copepods, is cleaner, it's healthier, it enhances the copepods, it's a bracha. It's a bracha that Hashem sent into the water that it takes care of.
They're not visible with the eye, are
they? That's one heter. The only issue of the copepods are copepods that are visible to the naked eye. And the truth is, they are in certain areas. The issue with copepods is on dead-end streets. It all depends on, this is proven, all depends on where you live in Brooklyn. In Manhattan, you're not going to find the copepod in you. It's very hard to find the copepod in your water because the water in the apartment buildings, the amount of water that's going through the system is flowing so fast, there is just not enough time for these eggs to develop into bugs that can be nirelei nayim. And when they're not nirelei nayim, in halacha they don't exist. If you live in Flatbush on a dead end street, but it doesn't matter because it depends how the water, how the pipe, this when you're dead end doesn't necessarily mean that your water is also dead end. Some of the dead end streets underneath the tracks, underneath the system, it's flowing and it's
the track.
Or it's flowing not from the tracks, it's flowing from other directions. But there are certain areas in Brooklyn where the pipe system is such where you live in a neighborhood where the water is coming to the end of the tracks, the end of the pipe system. And in those areas, the water
stagnates
on average for 4, 5, 6 days more than other areas in Brooklyn, even more, sometimes even weeks. And when the water stagnates, that gives these eggs an opportunity to develop. What?
Well, people are always using water. How does it stagnate?
It flows slower. The water comes from the reservoir, comes into the certain pipes, and it slows down. It slows down. If you're living in Manhattan, every second someone's living in the Empire State, every second someone's flushing the toilet.
So on the dead end of the street, they're not using water?
They're not flushing the toilet with the same frequency as in Manhattan in an apartment building. And water sprinklers and taking showers, it slows down. There are studies. There are studies on how fast the water is, the turnover from the Catskills comes out into your sink. In Manhattan, there's a much quicker turnover. The water is fresher. The water that comes out on the faucet in Manhattan is fresher than the water that's in Brooklyn. Besides being closer, how long has that water been in the pipe? You don't want water. It's not healthy. A lot of the pipes in New York are old. They're old. They're decrepit. They're filthy. It's a multi-billion dollar. It's a very big problem. They don't have the money. It's a multi-billion dollar project to go and to redo the pipe system. That's why every time you hear on the news in the winter, a water main broke. Right. So then they say, this water main is 80 years old. 80 years old. What? Okay, it's 100 years old. And the pipes they put in today, they don't use metal anymore. Metal is finished.
Right.
No more metal. They use the plastics, which is much better, much healthier. You don't have the rust and the decay and all the lead and all these other poisonous things. So first of all, it's not healthy. The water stagnates in the pipes for a long period of time. Who knows?
Tanks
and all other things. It's not healthy. Besides it not being healthy, the copepods have an opportunity to live. they develop. And they develop to the point where it's Nira Le Nayin. And it is. You just don't live on those blocks. So the people that made this whole stink, they actually can show you, they can take a glass of water from their scene, they can show you. You see it, and you will admit, yeah, I see something crawling around in there. So why wasn't this a problem in Lower East Side by Rav Moshe Feinstein 50, 60 years ago? Well, first of all, there was a much smaller population in Brooklyn and these areas, 50, 60 years, everyone was in Manhattan. Manhattan, it's not going to happen that quickly because, again, the turnover. And also, Rav Moshe seems to have a place that Belsky holds halachically. This is toilodai. There's a question of the pipe. There's a whole different topic of discussion. There are many places to hold that it's smoother. The point I want to make over here is that when it comes to water, Olam is very makel. Personally, businesses, the OU will not give you a hechsher on your restaurant, on your store if the water is not filtered. Why? Business. So over here, you tell them, the hotel that started doing things on Inshallah Shudas, they started making and preparing salads on Inshallah Shudas. Business is different. Business, this perception, people are talking about it. Once they hear they start making salads, who knows what else they're doing behind closed scenes. I once went to a hotel Shabbos Bar Mitzvah many years ago. Okay, Shabbos Bar Mitzvah, one of my classmates, a Shabbos Bar Mitzvah in a hotel. Ooh. And that night, that Mitzvah Shabbos, the Young Israel of Avenue J was having their dinner in that very same hotel. So Shabbos was the Shabbos Bar Mitzvah boy in my class in Chaim Berlin. And then that mitzvah, I was going to stay over. My parents would take me home because that mitzvah Shabbos was having the dinner. So Shalosh Shudas time, I didn't even know from another. There's a little kid. Shalosh Shudas time, I was walking in the lobby, and the guy says to me, "Do you hear how much activity is going on in the kitchen? Do you hear all this activity? There must be a dinner tonight. And there's no way Shalosh Shudas was already served. It was already done." So what's all this commotion going on in the kitchen? It's not yet, Shabbos is not over. Are they preparing for tonight? So I didn't understand this because
you went too holy.
No, I don't know, but that's, you're saying exactly the same thing. Once in the business, you have already Shabbos off. Again, it's a whole different world.
But you're talking after Shabbos, it's not before Shabbos.
Okay, but this, so that you can't bring a rye from a business to what may indeed be the standards of halacha, the little halacha. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We have finished the siman. This is the end of the siman. Next time we'll do something different. Take a short break.